A PC-12 is down in Butte, Montana. One of the Eclipse bidders has partnered with Roll Peeper, and airlines may have to speed up their capacity cuts. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 23rd, 2009. It's been a tough weekend. An unknown number of occupants died yesterday afternoon about 3 p.m. when a Pilatus PC-12 turboprop registered to an Oregon-based leasing company came down in a cemetery next to Burt Mooney Airport in Butte, Montana. FAA spokesman Mike Fergus told the Montana Standard the plane departed Oroville, California on an IFR flight plan to Bozeman yesterday morning. He says the pilot diverted to Butte for undetermined reasons. The PC-12 is typically configured to seat 7 to 10, including pilots, but various media sources were reporting as many as 17 people killed. We should have numbers from the FAA today. Early this morning, Tokyo time, a FedEx MD-11 freighter inbound from Guangzhou, China, crashed on landing at Tokyo's Narita International Airport. AFP News cites local Red Cross officials in reporting both pilots died. Video from the Tokyo broadcasting system shows three hard bounces, with the left wing hitting the runway on the last. The plane cartwheeled off the runway in a fireball and came to rest inverted. Weather was reported clear but gusty winds at the time. Check back frequently for updates as we get more details on both these accidents at aero-news.net. Many of the 800 former Eclipse Aviation employees looking for work after the company's bankruptcy may find this a cruel irony. Eclipse 500 owner Mike Press and depositor Mason Holland announced last week their formation of Eclipse Jet LLC to try to buy the company. On Friday, they announced the names of three other partners, Raul Sagredo, John Kraken, and former Eclipse Aviation CEO Roel Peeper. Holland said of Peeper, quote, "When we set out to determine how to maximize the value of Eclipse's assets and ensure our ability to deliver value to customers, Roel proved very helpful. He understands from actual experience all the issues Mike, Raul, and I have been modeling. Our go-forward plan is now better informed. Our five-person team intends to capture Eclipse's assets, lead a transition team to both restore fleet services and support, and recruit a seasoned senior management team to lead Eclipse and resume production," unquote. The Air Transport Association of America, which represents most U.S. airlines, reports passenger revenue among its members fell 19% in February compared to the same month in 2008. That makes the fourth consecutive month in which revenue has fallen from the prior year. The declines reached international routes, including transatlantic, transpacific, and Latin markets. Making matters worse, the domestic airlines saw cargo traffic and revenue ton miles drop 21% year over year in January after back-to-back 17% declines in November and December. Transpacific cargo traffic fell 32%. ATA chief economist John Heimlich commented, quote, "The worldwide slowdown is forcing further capacity reductions despite the meaningful drop in fuel prices," unquote. ATA airline members and their affiliates transport more than 90% of all U.S. airline passenger and cargo traffic. Friday's successful deployment of two new solar panel arrays on the International Space Station sent new energy coursing through the facility, both literally and in the emotional sense. The station can now generate as much as 120 kilowatts of electricity. That's enough to expand the station's normal crew size to six this summer. But Friday's emotional high was followed by two problems on Saturday during a spacewalk by astronauts Steve Swanson and Joseph Acaba. The Associated Press reports Acaba accidentally inserted a pin upside down, jamming the deployment of an equipment storage platform outside the Kibo module. Engineers on the ground are trying to determine a fix, which can be attempted during today's spacewalk. A second, more dramatic problem ultimately proved less significant. Due to Acaba and Swanson's movements at the end of the station's truss assembly, the onboard gyros that maintain the station's attitude in orbit overheated, triggering an alarm. The docked Space Shuttle Discovery briefly assumed control of maintaining the station's orbital attitude while those gyroscopes cooled. Discovery is currently scheduled to return to Earth this Saturday. Up next on ANN, three flight attendants escape a lawsuit, but not its costs. Boeing gives hundreds of employees their 60-day notice. And Russian harassment missions get bolder. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. Three former America West flight attendants have prevailed in a defamation suit brought against them by First Officer Ed Gannon. One morning in 2003, as America West Flight 851 was preparing to depart Calgary, Gannon allegedly dismissed the concerns of the flight attendants and de-icing personnel about frost on the plane's wings and fuselage. So the attendants fabricated a story about passengers expressing concerns to get the takeoff stopped. In 2006, First Officer Gannon filed a $2 million suit against Paula Walker, Sue Burris, and Brian Shunick. His complaint claimed the flight attendants making of false accusations, jeopardizing Gannon's ability to work in his profession is, on its face, 1, intentional and reckless, 2, is extreme and outrageous, 3, was the direct cause of his having to undergo over 3 years of investigation and prosecution, and 4, his emotional distress could only be severe, unquote. The Phoenix New Times reports that Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Louis Araneta has dismissed the suit entirely, saying there was no evidence of false statements or reckless disregard for the truth. Also at issue, Gannon never reported any severe emotional distress at subsequent renewals of his FAA medical. The news of the lawsuit's dismissal isn't all good for the flight attendants. Their legal bills total about $80,000. The airline, which is now merged with U.S. Airways, is ducking reimbursement for legal expenses called for under the contract with flight attendants, calling their fabricated story willful misconduct, which opens a loophole. The Phoenix chapter of the Association of Flight Attendants says it's pursuing a grievance. As part of its effort to slash 10,000 jobs this year, on Friday, Boeing gave 900 employees their legally required 60-day notice. The Seattle Times reports roughly 600 workers are from Boeing's commercial airplanes unit, including 458 members of the Machinists Union. So far, Boeing has laid off about 2,700 workers company-wide, the vast majority of them in the Seattle area. The Times reports the company has also laid off hundreds of contract workers. More positions have been cut through attrition and retirements. U.S. military officials last week said Russian planes overflew two U.S. naval ships participating in military exercises with South Korea. The ships were in international waters in the Sea of Japan. On Monday, the USS John C. Stennis was buzzed by a Russian Ilyushin IL-38 May maritime patrol and anti-submarine warfare aircraft flying at 500 feet. The USS Stennis is a Nimitz-class nuclear supercarrier, and its home port is Naval Base Kitsap in Bremerton, Washington. On Tuesday, two Russian Tupolev Tu-95MS Bear long-range bombers reportedly overflew the USS Stennis and the USS Blue Ridge several times at about 2,000 feet. The Blue Ridge is a command ship based at Yokosuka Naval Base in Japan. CNN reports U.S. fighters were scrambled in both cases and that the Russian crews refused to answer repeated radio calls and were escorted out of the area. Major Joseph T. O.D. Bachman has become the first U.S. Marine Corps pilot to fly the Lockheed Martin F-35 Lightning II, logging the flight test program's 90th mission. He's the fifth pilot overall to fly the multi-role fighter. Bachman flew the plane to 15,000 feet over Lockheed's Fort Worth plant on Thursday, checking handling qualities and engine response before landing an hour and 15 minutes later. He apparently liked it. Quote, The U.S. Marine Corps will be getting an aircraft with extraordinary capabilities that is very easy to fly. Today is another step toward delivery of the first jets to Marines on the front line, unquote. Still ahead, could a helicopter ride have saved Natasha Richardson? DOT announces the winners of two new routes to Brazil. And aviation alphabet groups take the bait from JetBlue. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. The alarming death of actress Natasha Richardson after a seemingly minor fall during a beginner ski lesson at the Mont-Tremblant Resort in Quebec is prompting a debate over the benefits of medevac helicopters and a lack of access to them in this situation. The 45-year-old rose from her fall, joked with the ski patrol, and reportedly signed a waiver declining medical attention. A short time later, she began complaining of a headache. She was taken first to a nearby hospital not specializing in head trauma, then transferred to Sacré-Cœur Hospital in Montreal. She finally wound up at New York City's Lenox Hill Hospital, where she died on Wednesday. Tarek Razek is a director of trauma services for the McGill University Health Center. He says a helicopter transport directly to a qualified trauma center might have made a difference, but such service is scarce in Quebec. Quote, "A helicopter is obviously the fastest way to get from point A to point B. There are so many variables, it's hard to speculate what might have been done differently," unquote. The incident is also renewing calls from safety advocates for increased use of protective headgear by skiers. The U.S. Department of Transportation Friday proposed to award Continental Airlines and U.S. Airways new rights to fly to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. If the decision is finalized, Continental could operate a new daily nonstop round-trip flight from Houston as early as June 1st, and U.S. Airways could begin a new daily nonstop round-trip flight from Charlotte on October 1st. DOT suggested because U.S. Airways is the only applicant not serving Brazil, its flights would increase competition and provide the first direct Brazil service from Charlotte. Continental service from Houston would be the carrier's first year-round nonstop service to Rio, and the only year-round nonstop to Rio from the central or western U.S. Delta had applied for service between Atlanta and Rio. American proposed flying New York to Rio 3 days a week. Objections may be filed with the DOT within 10 days. If there are any, responses will be due 7 days after that. Then, DOT can make the decision final. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association's Airport Support Network recently surpassed the 2,000 volunteer mark. The volunteers are AOPA's eyes and ears at America's community airports, helping the organization stay informed about local airport issues. The 2,000th volunteer was Troy D. Hightower, who learned of his appointment in a phone call from ASN Program Director Jennifer Storm. ASN has been growing steadily since it started in 1997. The local eyes and ears have enabled AOPA to address many community airport issues proactively and promptly. Hightower is a private pilot and longtime AOPA member. He's the new ASN volunteer for Meadows Field in Bakersfield, California. He said he volunteered to help communicate, quote, "how important airports are to the community, in addition to the users of the airport," unquote. And finally, a tongue-in-cheek advertising campaign introduced last week by JetBlue Airways offers helpful hints for fat cat CEOs who are now forced to park their private jets and travel on commercial airliners. They're viral ads, meaning they're not placed in mass media, but rather released on the internet in the hopes they'll get views based on word of mouth. And JetBlue's not even trying that hard. They're not even posted on YouTube. But maybe they'll be more popular now that the National Business Aviation Association and the Alliance for Aviation Across America are raising a public stink about the stereotype. The Alliance for Aviation Across America launched a print ad on Friday calling JetBlue out for its, quote, "most recent ad gimmick that ridicules the nation's business executives who use business aviation and attempts to argue that traveling on JetBlue is a better option to general aviation, unquote. The Alliance ad points out that JetBlue only serves 44 big city airports, quote, while general aviation serves 5,000 communities, unquote. The Alliance doesn't say where the ad was placed, but presumably it will result in more views for the JetBlue videos. NBAA President Ed Bolin at first resisted the urge to give JetBlue any added exposure, instead writing JetBlue CEO David Barger a letter. But then, apparently Ed just couldn't help himself. NBAA issued a press release about the letter. Have a look for yourself. The URL is www.welcomebigwigs.com. I'm betting you'll think they're funny enough to forward to your friends in aviation. And that's apparently okay with the alphabet groups. Which is funny, you know? I would have thought they'd just want the JetBlue ads to kind of disappear unnoticed. Hey, if organizations are now making a public scene over a silly stereotype, does that mean general aviation is now officially a special interest group? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves explains his decision to add sport pilot training to his flight school and offers his own economic stimulus plan for general aviation. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.